This is NBC News Radio.
Diversified radio station on the dial, AM 1050, KCAA.
Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Take a walk on the wild side, where the birds and the bees survive. Right before me, my newfound hippie side. Once ignored these conspiracies online. Out the window, visions of the earth. Sign me up now, make sure you use your smart. Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Would your children
Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome to Smart Health Talk. Well, for all of you that have been following the stories in the news about pink slime and all of the information that's coming out about our meat supply, you are going to be thrilled at the guests that we have on Smart Health Talk today. Steve McDonnell is actually the founder and CEO of Applegate Farms. And Applegate Farms is an organic meat company that I've been a customer with for, I don't even want to admit how many years, but ever since I've been shopping at health food stores, which has been since I was like 18 years old. And they have always delivered the best quality product. And, I mean, they started this company back when it wasn't necessarily a big thing, you know, to have organic products. There wasn't that many customers out there, but they still decided that they wanted to have an organic company. And there are certain reasons that they chose to do that. And Steve's going to be sharing that with us today. And he's also going to be helping to kind of clarify what's going on with antibiotics in our meat supply. And some of you have probably heard about this, but you may have just, you know, heard this story over here and that story over there, and you're not really clear on what is going on with antibiotics in our meat. And I know we've discussed this on our show before, but Steve's going to actually be able to give us the real story direct from the producer. And whereas one of the things that really impressed me about Steve, whereas other companies that I had talked to shied away from coming on Smart Health Talk, Steve could not wait to come on Smart Health Talk and tell his story. So that's a big difference right there to start off with between their meat company and conventional meat companies. So, Steve, are you there?
I am here. Thank you, okay. Elaine, for having me on the show.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us. I mean, the information that you have to share with us, to me, it's like one of the most important messages that we could get out to people right now, because this whole meat issue has just become humongous.
Yeah, pink slime has really taken over the headlines over the last couple of weeks. But having done this for 25 years, it's really just another bad meat story that keeps coming to the surface, that keeps pointing to the same issues. It's you wonder when industry is finally going to get the message.
So, well, why don't you kind of give us a little background on Applegate Farms and, like, what got you to want to even, like, start a company like this to begin with?
Well, I grew up in the kind of meat and potatoes 1950s, so roast beef and rice pudding are still my two favorite things to eat. But as I went to college in the early 70s and became a vegetarian, I realized that eating a heavy diet of salt and fat, sugar, which, you know, while it tasted great, wasn't the best thing for me. So we consider ourselves a pro-vegetarian meat company, which is, we support eating less meat. We just don't think you can, I love meat, so I don't think it's just something I can completely eradicate out of the diet. And I found this small smokehouse in 1987 that was doing nitrate-free bacon. So I thought, I can get a health-conscious meat and also have an excuse to keep eating bacon. And so we just started 25 years ago and have been building the business ever since.
Well, for, some people out there may not even realize that nitrate-free bacon is desirable and may see a nitrate on their processed meat, which could be like bologna or ham or bacon or any kind of meat like that, hot dogs. What should they realize when they see nitrates on the label? What does that mean?
Well, nitrates is often we don't support the chemical use of nitrates. We don't support a lot of ingredients that are used in processed meats. I think the basic and best example is for customers for advice is just to look at the ingredient statement. And if you don't understand the word, you want to be a little cautious about that. So shorter ingredient statements, ingredients that you understand, and also ingredients that have claims like no antibiotics or organic, give you kind of higher levels of standards to know that the animals were raised humanely and without the needless use of antibiotics, and in processing, the needless use of ingredients that are basically done to either cheapen the product or just extend shelf life.
Right. And like in dietetic school, when I learned about nitrates, I know that there was research attached to it that showed that it was actually carcinogenic. And so adding that to foods and eating, consuming it in foods could increase your risk of cancer. But then there are naturally occurring nitrates. So that's actually a very interesting subject, and I encourage our listeners to type that into Google and start to educate yourself on just what Steve's talking about here. So after, you found this, great smokehouse, then what happened?
Well, then, that was in the late 80s. So at that point, the natural foods movement was underway, but meat, was largely filled with vegetarians. I mean, the natural foods movement, as you know, is a vegetarian-based movement. And the only thing they said was, don't eat meat. And they were really correct. Industrial farming had really gone too far. There were no options to eat meat that was raised without antibiotics or find processed meats that were not kind of laden with unnecessary additives. So as the market kind of expanded and a broader mix came in to the market other than just vegetarians, people who were just interested in eating a healthier, better diet, the demand for our types of product really started to grow, and we started in co-ops and health food stores like where you started, and then into Whole Foods, and now almost all major supermarket chains, as you know, health food has become, it used to be kind of a niche trend. Now it's the only major retail trend that's really growing in the United States. So fortunately, we can be found in many more places, and more consumers have choices when they go into their stores.
Well, and a big part of that is because of companies such as yours, because one of the things I'd really like to stress is that people just kind of take for granted that we have a choice, like an organic choice, to find an actual meat source that has no antibiotics or these different chemicals added. To me, that I prize that, the fact that I even have that choice, and it's because of companies like Applegate Farms that we do, and I really appreciate that. But one of the things that I'd like to point out that you just said that to me is really important is the fact that there was a change in the way that we were farming meat, and that was driven by wanting to increase profits. Is that true?
Yeah, the primary drive around industrial factory farms, which really started, post-World War II in the late 50s and really started picking up steam in the 70s and 80s into the 90s and even in the last 10 years was driven really singularly by in an effort to create cheap meat, which obviously produced an enormous amount of profits as we kind of got rid of all these small family farms, which we try to support. I mean, we have 1,000 farms that we support around the country. And these small farms went out, the big factory farms kicked in, and basically the way they did it, there's three ways to make cheap meat, and they all necessitate the use of antibiotics. So the three simple ways are to crowd the animals excessively, to accelerate their growth rates with steroids, and to feed them cheap feed. The biggest cost in raising these animals is feed. So if you cheapen the feed, and they don't have a strong health or a good immune system, they get weak. If you stress them out by accelerating their growth rates with steroids, they are also, it weakens their immune system. And crowding also leads to a lot of natural systemic diseases. So all of that, those conditions to create cheap meat, require the use of antibiotics to keep the animal alive for the short period of time that they really are. And what's incredible now is that 80% of all the antibiotics that are used in this country every year are consumed by animals in these feeding structures. Only 20% are used by humans.
We have to break right now, but I want to give our listeners, I think this is a good time to break because I want you to think about those numbers, everyone. And we're going to come back and talk some more about this because I think that should have shocked you a little bit that 80% of the antibiotics produced are used in animals. So please stay tuned and we're going to continue this conversation when we get back.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert, has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other, nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit IonChargeMinerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
Be sure to visit our website at SmartHealthTalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome to Smart Health Talk. Well, right before break, we were talking to Steve McDonnell, and he's actually the founder and CEO of Applegate Farms, which is the largest organic meat supplier in the country. Isn't that correct, Steve?
We are for processed meat. There are a few other raw material suppliers, but on the cook side and the process side, that's true.
Well, all I know is you guys have the most incredible pepperoni, and I make a homemade pepperoni pizza, and I'm going to be posting my recipe for my Applegate pepperoni pizza up on our website, everyone, and wait till you see what it looks like, and it's delicious, and I have some secret ingredients in there as well. But anyway, I wanted to get back to the issue that we were talking about when we left for break, and that was the antibiotic use in animals, which Steve told us a couple of shocking numbers. I mean, and you should be shocked, everyone. I mean, this is 80% of all of the antibiotics produced are used in animals, and 20% are used in people. And I remember going to feed stores, Steve, and I could actually I saw products that had antibiotics right on the shelf in the feed store. And I remember thinking, wait, don't I have to have a prescription for that?
No, it's unbelievable. And I think what I want to make sure your listeners understand is if animals get naturally sick, we, of course, want to use antibiotics to take care of the health and well-being of the animals. The mm-hmm. vast majority of antibiotics, that you know, the 80%, are used day in and day out. I mean, it would be like if you woke up in the morning and got your kids to the breakfast table, poured them a bowl of cereal, and just sprinkled on a daily basis antibiotics on top of the cereal. It makes no sense. And antibiotics are widely regarded as, if it's not the greatest medical breakthrough of the last 100 years, it's right up there. And we're running the risk of antibiotics not working on humans because of the overuse that we're using. I mean, humans also are overusing it, but the vast majority of the bacterial resistance is developing because of the overuse on animals.
How does that happen?
How does what happen?
How does this use, everyday use in animals, where you're giving it to them when they're sick? When they're healthy, not when they're not necessarily when they're sick. Of course, you want to use it when you're sick, but you're saying they're giving it to them routinely every single day, even to healthy cows, and
right.
that eventually causes antibiotic resistance in humans.
Yeah,
so,
when you try to create when you create the conditions of not feeding the animals real feed, and you crowd them, and then you accelerate their growth rates because that cheapens the, you know, anything that shortens the life of the animal and gets the meat on faster is cheaper. It creates systemic diseases. So then you use antibiotics to treat those systemic diseases. And the overuse, eventually the bacteria develops a resistance. And the efficacy of the drugs go down. And the problem is that there are no new classes of antibiotics. The only ones that they are developing are almost too dangerous and have enormous, consequences to using them. And so we're stuck with the ones we've got, and we can't develop bacteria that is becoming resistant, which bacteria does if it's treated too long with the bacteria. It starts developing ways around resistance. I mean, that's the same thing, not to diverge, with GMO crops. I mean, they thought that Roundup Ready would kill all the weeds, and now they're coming, you know, nature is responding as it does, and is coming up with a weed that is now resistant to Roundup, so they're formulating an even stronger genetically modified corn, which actually uses what used to be Agent Orange, and to try to kill those weeds. And you just get this cycle that eventually goes off a cliff, and it doesn't need to happen if we just start eating meat on a more responsible level.
Well, and, you know, I really like that comment a lot, because I was with you, like, kind of like you in a way, and I think we kind of grew up around the same timeline and through some of the same things. I totally relate to a lot of what you're saying. But I did go through a period of when I was going through dietetic school, and I did eat vegan actually for a whole year. I wanted to see how hard it would be. And I grew up eating meat like every single day. And for me, it wasn't necessarily something that made me feel that much better. And I instead kind of went down the path that you did, where I decided that I would eat meat responsibly and not think that I had to have it at every single meal and use it, you know, to help flavor my vegetables and have a good source of protein, but only try to buy organic meat instead of just eating a lot of conventional meat at a cheaper price.
Yeah, no, I mean, the average American eats over 200 pounds of meat a year. That's almost like a cooked quarter pounder, you know, every day. And no, you're a nutritionist. I haven't run into a nutritionist that recommends anybody's diet contain that much meat. So while it's true that the organic and the antibiotic free do cost more money, and nobody, you know, the vast majority of us don't have more money to spend on food, if you cut the consumption down, because meat is such a big part of everybody's grocery bill, if you are eating meat, that if you reduce the amount, you can then afford
and move it off the center of the plate so it becomes a condiment to a sausage and pasta versus, you know, a full chicken in the center of the meal. The cost, you know, in the end doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to cost anymore, but you do need to alter, you know, how you're eating, and you also need to not spend as much on junk food. You know, our line is cheap food is neither. And if you start spending a little bit less on food that actually are cheap but actually can get you sick because they don't really feed you, those combinations of changes are critical so people can afford to pay more and not have it cost them, you know, in total more out of their pocketbook.
Well, I know. And if I look, if I add it where, okay, if I spend like $1 to $2 more, you know, what am I really getting for that $2? Do I really want to eat a piece of meat where the animal was crowded, stressed, given hormones, given steroids, given antibiotics? Do I really want to be a part of all that? I really don't. I just don't.
Right, and the other thing we do is because we minimally process, I mean, the food, the taste profile goes up. So our products, if you take an Applegate Farms product, whether it's a chicken nugget or a hot dog or deli meats, and compare it against the cheaper conventional, you'll notice a very significant taste improvement. So you just can't eat as much of it if it tastes better, but you know, hopefully it's more satisfying, not so much on the quantity, but on the quality.
Well, we have to take another break here, but what I want to tie this all back into is the overall food safety of our food supply and, you know, how these practices are playing in that and the differences in food safety that we get from organic food. So that's going to be a big part of our discussion, and I think you'll find that really interesting. So please stay tuned.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other, nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit IonChargeMinerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
Be sure to visit our website at SmartHealthTalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back. You're listening to Smart Health Talk, and we're here talking with Steve McDonald, who's the founder and CEO of Applegate Farms, which is one of the largest organic meat producers in the country. And he was just giving us some information that we all should be listening loud and clear to on the situation that we're creating here as far as a public health risk by creating superbugs that are resistant to all the antibiotics that we have. I mean, this is like really scary stuff. I mean, we could have epidemics that could impact us with this mutated bacteria. And I think we just, you know, you may think it's something like you would see in a sci-fi movie, but it could actually be a reality. So, Steve, I was like, you know, I actually watched the video by the American Meat Association, and I thought it was interesting that during the video that they said that they were trying to be sustainable by adding this pink slime product to the hamburger meat, and that we were actually saving millions of cows from having to be slaughtered as a result of that. And then when I started thinking about all of the recalls that we've had in the past few years, and I remember clearly the recall back in 2008 where we recalled 143 million pounds of meat. I'm sure you remember that.
Yeah. My biggest beef with this issue of pink slime is the industry continually, in my mind, treating the consumer as an individual who cannot make an intelligent, informed decision on their own.
And, that's a good point.
And not labeling, and I think this is also true with GMOs, but not labeling the products, to educate and inform and allowing the consumers to make a choice is maddening. I mean, as you know, the people who listen to this radio station who care about health and are raising kids trying to make the right decisions, in the end, they need the right to trust whoever they want to. And if you're not going to be transparent, in today's world, with the internet, and you think that you can just be closed door and ignore consumers' desire to know what they're feeding their kids, it is just, you know, it's naive.
It's pretty insulting to me.
Yeah, it is. They still don't get it.
Well, you know, that's all we're asking is to just please label this. And you guys actually did a survey where you went out there and you asked just, you know, the everyday population, what do you think about this? Would you like this on your on the label so that you could make a decision? And what did they say?
Oh, the numbers were unbelievable. I mean, the awareness around this one was around, you know, antibiotics. The awareness and concern that moms have about this issue is overwhelming. And they're smart, they're protective of their kids, and they're trying to sort through this maze of information around these issues. But if you don't give them the information and you try to hide something from a mom, the backlash from pink slime was, I think there was an objection to how it's produced and what it is, but I think the real broader objection that everybody can agree with is give consumers the choice and treat them as the intelligent, independent thinking people that they are. I mean, and put it on the label and be upfront. If there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, why are you hiding what you're doing? It just doesn't make sense.
Well, that's one of the things that I've always loved about organic is that it is transparent. You can trace things back to when, you know, it was first produced all along the line. Everyone has to, you know, report. Everything is checked. But yet there are still people, when we have a USDA certified, there are still people that think that they can't trust that something's really organic. What do you say when people say that? What's your response?
There's a lot of confusion around, you know, what the difference between organic and natural is. And in most cases, natural means absolutely nothing. But it often depicts, you know, the desire, you know, parents want to buy naturally produced products. Organic I don't think we've done in the industry nearly a good enough job explaining to people the real difference between the two. And that organic seal, which is approved by the USDA, I mean, tests show that people trust the USDA. Well, the USDA is the one that enforces, and there are laws and affidavits, and, you know, if you don't obey them, there are criminal actions that can be taken against you. It's a very serious, high-standard protocol that's got to be followed in order for you to put that label on your product, and I think the industry hasn't done a good enough job explaining that standard and that big difference between the difference between organic and natural.
And that's what we're hoping to do in this show, and by having companies like yourself come on and give us your explanation, I think, you know, it's helping to give us a broader definition. So we're all starting to kind of get a better understanding of what organic is really all about. So how would you describe, like, let's just take something like, you know, an Applegate hot dog. And there was another question I had before I wanted to get into that. And because I know you guys do have natural products, and I think the natural issue is like so important. So you guys have natural, but is there like different levels of natural? So like your definition of natural and the standards that you will not go below could be different than another product's definition of natural.
Yeah, that's true. In meat, the USDA allows you to use the word natural if it's just minimally processed, no artificial ingredients. It basically means anything. It has nothing to, it says nothing about the growing practices, which is when you're buying a chicken, it that isn't cooked or processed. It's all about, how it's raised. Our product, we have two different categories, and they're very similar. The, what we call naturals is no antibiotics ever. It has only been, the animals have been raised humanely. They are only given, real feed, vegetarian feed, no animal byproducts, and they were never sick and never administered in their entire life either hormone, steroids, or antibiotics. So that's a vast difference between a conventional chicken and our chicken. The only difference between what we call our high standard natural and organic is the organic ones are fed certified organic grain, and in natural, the animals are fed conventional grain. So the protocols between our organic and natural in terms of how the animals are raised, the space that they're given. I mean, organics do have some, have access to outside movement, which the natural ones don't, but the spatial allocations in the barn inside are the same. The feed is the same, you know, the feed differential. It's all vegetarian. One is, as I said, is conventional and the other is raised organically. Other than that, everything is identical. So it's a much, much higher standard than the natural USDA claim.
Well, one of the things I love about buying from Applegate Farms, like you said, you guys are a co-op. You actually represent over 1,000 small farmers all across the country. And so when I buy your product, I feel like I'm not supporting some big industrial farm that's using these other practices. I'm supporting 1,000 small farmers that are trying to support their families and are trying to stick to stick guidelines and create a really healthy, safe product that I can trust.
No, and we think there are thousands more farms around the country that are ready to be family farms and to get back to farming as their parents or their grandparents knew it. And we owe these farmers a decent wage. I mean, they're not going to work for nothing, and it is more difficult to manage the level of farms that we're talking about where you can't use antibiotics and those crutches so the animal can't get sick. And if one animal does get sick, we treat it, but then we separate it and it gets sold off conventionally. So part of the higher price is paying the farmer what the farmer really deserves. And I think we've in this country been disconnected because of factory farms. We don't understand that real food takes real farmers, and real farmers deserve real money. So I think we've become addicted to cheap food that has become disconnected to all the jobs and all the great work that our American farmers are doing to put real food on our dinner table.
I agree with you 100%, and I thank you for saying all that, because I like it when someone else says it besides just me. So there's, you know, lots more that we have to talk about as far as food safety goes and the different kinds of qualities of meat that we're eating. So please stay tuned. We're going to come back with Steve here in just a minute.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert, has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other, nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit IonChargeMinerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
Be sure to visit our website at SmartHealthTalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Well, you're listening to Smart Health Talk, and today we're talking to Applegate Farms and the founder and CEO, Steve McDonald, and we're learning about our meat, the meat that we eat, how it's raised, what they put in the feed, the different kinds of hormones and steroids and antibiotics that go into industrialized food, and how there are companies out there like Applegate Farms that choose to not produce meat using those methods. And I think that we don't even realize the true extent of the benefits that we get besides just getting a great product that we can trust that doesn't have all these other additives that taste fantastic. And we don't have to feel guilty that, you know, the animal was mistreated in the process, that there's actually far-reaching benefits as environmentally. And we have Earth Day coming up, and we're doing our Smart Health Talk countdown to Earth Day here. And that's one of the reasons I was so glad about having Steve come on the show, because meat is actually something that's kind of heavy on the carbon footprint scale. And how that meat is produced has a big impact on how much of the carbon footprint that's that happens when it's actually made. But also, there's like practices that industrial farms use where they, during, you know, like something like a tornado or other type of weather condition, that can actually go into the environment. Do you know what I'm talking about, Steve?
No, you got it all figured out. There's the methane in the air from excessive beef production, the water system and pollution from the CAFOs, you know, and concentrated waste treatment plants. There's lots of environmental pieces to this, as well as what we talked about on the antibiotic resistance. I mean, MRSA, which is a drug, you know, a resistant bacterial staph, kills more people in the country now than AIDS does. So there's the real cost is, you know, of the cheap food, obviously, is the health and the lack of health and wellness in our kids, and the cost associated to that on every level. I mean, you know, my thing is, how can a kid go to school and even begin to learn if they haven't had a good breakfast or they've just knocked down a sugar-laden Slurpee? There's no learning that's going on. So everybody knows these issues are out there. I'd like to just suggest three things that I think people could do to help, you know, move things forward, if that's okay.
Oh, I'd love it. Please.
Well, the first, obviously, is always, and nobody has time, but get involved. There are groups and foundations that are helping to educate Americans about this problem and working to make changes in the food system. So a couple are Stop Foodborne Illness, the Pew Charitable Trust, the NRDC, and Citizens Against Superbugs. You can find Citizens Against Superbugs on Facebook. And just recently, the NRDC won this really important lawsuit against the FDA, where a federal judge ordered the FDA to take action on this issue of antibiotic resistance. Two, call your lawmakers. Representative Louise Slaughter from New York and Senator Dianne Feinstein there in California support the Preservation of Antibiotics for Medical Treatment Act, PAMTA, which would restrict antibiotics use on family farms. And, of course, I know the one you've done is vote with your fork. You know, look for the brands that don't use antibiotics. If consumers stop buying the meat, the producers are going to get the message. And that survey that you referenced found that people don't, you know, want to have products that don't have antibiotics, and they're looking for them. So understand that your what you buy is how you vote.
You know, that all of those things are exactly what we need to do. And I think with what's happened with this whole issue with the pink slime and the revolt that, that we saw within the people, kind of, you know, the shock of it, things going on with their food that they didn't really know about, I think it shows that people are ready to speak up and say, you know, we deserve better.
And I think, you know, also if you go to Applegate's Facebook page, you'll find, you know, don't just trust us, trust the community of people who understand us. And you know, nobody's going to educate a mom better than another educated mom. And online, there are lots of places to go where people are interested in sharing what they know. It's a very complicated process that takes a long time to kind of to figure out. So any step in the right direction is a great step, and one that's going to be good for families and for farmers.
Well, and everyone that's listening to this show, I really hope that you've gotten a lot out of it. I know that I have, just listening to Steve and learning from him. And what I'm going to be doing is we're going to make sure that we have a special page where we're going to put all of the information that Steve's been talking about today. We're going to put all that on one page so that you can find all those references, the Facebook pages and all that. We'll make sure we have all the links on the page. And, you know, I just encourage you to start learning on your own. We're actually just, this is the tip of the iceberg here on all of the things that are really going on with our meat and the implications as far as like the side effects that happen as a result of this. You know, like when a big storm happens, if you have a big giant pool of waste from the pig farm and then it all goes into the river, you know, it's contaminating our water supply. It could contaminate the crops that are like down getting irrigated down the road a little bit. And so all of these things, it's all interconnected, and one thing impacts the other. And number one, the most important thing is your choices, your actions. Just like Steve said, to vote with your fork. Make a choice. Spend another $1.50 or the little bit extra that it takes to have a better quality meat. You're going to find that you're going to enjoy it twice as much. You're going to actually get a lot more out of it for that little bit extra that you pay than you ever realized. So is there any last-minute things that you would like to say to our listeners before we sign off here, Steve?
Well, just that, you know, I talk with, you know, a lot of customers and a lot of moms, and I know how hard it is to get clarity on a lot of these issues, and I really commend you, Elaine, for doing this kind of work and for all of those listeners who are trying to eat better and sort it through, and because it's higher priced doesn't mean it's not lost on us, the commitment that it takes to eat healthier. But I think once people, again, in our case, eat less meat and do buy a little bit less on the junk food, all of that is going to allow them to buy real nutritious food that's going to keep their family healthy and happy. And it's a difficult road because we've kind of veered off a cliff here in too much food that's not really food, or cheap food that's not really food. And I commend everybody's effort to, you know, take little steps in the right direction.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Steve. And I hope you'll come back and give us our next lesson on, you know, there's so many things that you guys make that are so wonderful. So please go to our website, everyone. We got lots of surprises for you there. And check us out on YouTube. I added some new videos that I think you're going to like with Dr. Plechner. So please join us next week, too. Bye-bye.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Hi, my name is Don Sozzi. If you enjoy the Smart Health Talk theme music, Visit my website, www.donsazi.com, to hear the complete song as well as other great music.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Right before me, my newfound hippie side. Once ignored these conspiracies online. Out the window, visions of the earth. Sign me up now, make sure you use your smart. Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Would your children lie to see Mother Nature's sigh?
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com.